tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
I love this song. I could totally see all the girls like busting and moving this song. Can you guys see it right now?
It's a Carol, for sure.
Carol, definitely. It's young and
Kristen
fun.
Oh, I thought you meant us.
Oh, and us, of course. No, but trying to tie in the song. I just think it's a feel-good song. And I felt like tonight there were lots of these scenes that were feel-good scenes. Lots of them that weren't, too, but why bring a depressing song in to ring in the night? Anyway, I'm Ashley Daniels. We are here for another episode of Real Housewives of New York. I missed you guys last week. I know you guys obviously killed it anyway. Did an amazing job, but I did miss you guys.
Aww,
and
I missed you.
Who am I with? My right?
Hi, guys. It's Megan Stecker.
And I'm Lindsay Wegner.
Fern Ronay.
Different studio tonight, same people, and I think we're going to have Dr. Fran back next week, so that'll be fun. She'll give us her psychological perspectives once again, but in the meantime, we have lots to cover tonight. I feel like a lot more than usual. I don't know why, but
yeah.
Every scene kind of had a lot going on with it.
Mm-hmm.
But we start off with Ramona and Dorinda at dinner. Ramona's really sick. She's sick throughout the whole episode, and typically these episodes aren't taped within like 2 days. So she was sick for a while, I think. She had a very hoarse voice, and she wasn't feeling well. But Ramona and Dorinda are discussing John and how they don't really like John, which was kind of the theme tonight. It opened this entire episode, and it kind of closed this entire episode. And they discuss Mario a little bit and how he wants Ramona back, which once again we get to later. But weird way to kind of open up the entire episode. They have tons of scenes to choose, but I feel like everything's on purpose here. Mm-hmm. Did you guys feel like this was kind of intentional, having the episode open and close with John being the theme?
And I think bookended with it being all about Dorinda's party, because it opened with them talking about her being in the Berkshires for her birthday the following weekend, and then it ended at her, like, birthday party that Luann threw her at the Petrosian.
Right. And it was Ramona talking to Dorinda about John, which comes up later.
Right. And correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not always right, but you guys that listen to us and that watch us, you're actually really cool. I haven't had anybody attack us, which has been great. knock on wood. But we do hear later on that Luann and Ramona had that conversation, that private conversation. Was that... Are we supposed to assume that happened before this dinner with Ramona and Dorinda? Where they did discuss John?
I think it sounded like it was a private conversation before the dinner.
I don't know what that is. Do you guys remember?
Yeah.
That?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, the whispers thing? Okay, great. no idea what that time was. Anyway, so you guys did think that happened beforehand.
Before Dorinda and Ramona had their dinner?
Yes.
I think so.
Okay. Interesting. I was wondering if this kind of was a conversation that they had, that Ramona and Dorinda had, and then from there, Ramona and Luann had spoken, and then it got back to Dorinda.
That's what I figured, but maybe it didn't happen before that. If it happened before... Okay, here's why I think that it didn't happen until after this conversation. Because if it did happen before that, unless Ramona was just being difficult, she should have told Dorinda right there in that situation.
Right.
Since it was a private conversation.
Yeah.
If Ramona was trying to start drama, well, then she chose the right time to do it.
Interesting.
At the party at the end of the episode.
Okay.
I'm wondering if, like, Ramona's whole show that she put on at the end of the show was because she feels, like, jealous that Luann and Dorinda might be getting close, because Luann was kind of hosting the party for Dorinda.
Oh. That is really interesting.
Dawned on me, because we were all kind of like, why is she doing this? Why is she acting like that? Why would she do this? I think she was drunk too.
Yes. And we will get into that, because we have a lot to cover with that. That is a great point. I know I'm bringing it in early, but if you guys want to comment and let us know,
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On YouTube. We're going to have a lot of questions for you tonight, but that is definitely one of the questions. Did you feel that Ramona was a little intimidated by Dorinda and Luann's maybe potentially somewhat of a friendship that mm-hmm. could be happening at some point? We'd love to
but
know.
But they both have claim to being friends with her before the show, because didn't Dorinda and Luann meet at a bar mitzvah? And
oh, yeah.
You're so smart.
Ramona and...
I wanted to remember that.
Right,
yes.
Right,
that's right. Well, before we get too far into things,
yes.
let's play you guys with something a little exciting from ABC, a new show called The Whispers.
So Harper has a new friend. He's what you might call imaginary.
This Monday, what if a child's imaginary friend wasn't imaginary?
Grown-ups can't see him.
Can't miss drama of the summer.
I think this friend is real.
Told you, Mommy.
Arrives.
I don't think we're dealing with a who. I think we're dealing with a what.
The Whispers. Series premiere Monday, 10, 9 central on ABC.
Woo! That was amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, Mac and I saw it on TV the other night, and we looked at each other. I think we were watching, like, Modern Family and Black-ish. We were catching up on all the episodes we hadn't seen, and we whipped our heads and looked at each other like, oh, my God, we have to DVR this.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, like, the Poltergeist movies or The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, Sixth Sense. We thought, yeah, very, like, M. Night Shyamalan. Yeah.
Oh, love that movie. That movie will never get old.
Exciting. Well, that one, like, shout out to Bruce Willis.
Good.
ABC The Whisper.
Monday, right? Monday.
Oh, girl. I forget.
We have the internet now. You can
we'll
look
Google it.
Hold on. I'll look it up. Keep
but
talking.
But back to Real Housewives of New York City. So, Carol, we get... I don't know if we've ever laughed this hard watching this episode ever, but yeah. It took me about 10 minutes to realize this was a political campaign for her apartment to kind of be part of one of the people that was, I don't, what's the exact word
like
that
the
she was?
Building
the building manager
board?
Or something?
The board president?
Okay.
I think she, yeah. I don't know if she was running, like, for president, but like to be
well,
on the
you
board.
You used
yeah.
to live in New York City, yeah. So what would that entail?
It would just be like the homeowners association, but mm-hmm. For the building, it's the board.
But the building would matter, the size of the building. She said it was small.
Yeah. She said there was only 30 people who lived there.
Okay.
But it's like, is part of your job, you get to decide who's going to be your neighbor. You kind of like, since it seems like she's in one of those like, upscale,
fancy colors.
Like yeah. rich people buildings.
It's like, probably like the episode.
It's like you have
of, yeah.
to all agree on letting a new person yes. move in, right?
Like remember
I
when Miranda was on
that.
The board?
Yeah,
in
yeah,
Sex
yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
And yes, they were deciding.
Really?
You know, they interview new people who are applying to live in the building.
Or when Samantha was talking with all yes. the older women, yes. and all the older women yes. didn't like her because she was young. And
see, I don't remember that. I remember Curb Your Enthusiasm, like the last season, with something similar. But Larry David had to go to the board every 2 seconds. But it seems like it's a pretty. It's going to be a lot of work, I think. But it seems like this is something that's going to, for someone who's been claiming she doesn't like to work very often now, this is like the type of task you just don't take on.
Exactly.
So, good for her. Like, she's yeah. challenging herself. Mm-hmm. But we were just cracking up. It was like, oh my God. I don't. You guys have to, if you have not seen it yet, we could never recap this for you. Just watch it, please.
I mean, the full of people.
She was dressed like all like nice and like looked like a lawyer. I actually think she'll be really good at this because of her like writing background.
Yes,
I think she's going to actually be really smart at this. Yeah. Like,
plus she has amazing research skills yes. for like I think most of like 80% of journalism is like the research you do to figure mm-hmm. out the story. Mm-hmm. So the fact that she could probably have some really great contacts to get her research that wouldn't be available to everybody, like if someone's moving yeah. into the building,
yeah, oh,
she can
yeah.
be like, get me their criminal records. Uh-huh. To, you know, she probably has great contacts from working at ABC News. Where did uh-huh. she work? ABC News?
ABC News, yeah.
Speaking of ABC, The Whispers is June 1st.
June 1st. Fabulous, fabulous.
Okay.
Nice. I don't know what was funnier. Just to know that she had been serving food that day that was frozen. That she, I actually know there are expiration dates even on frozen food. I just recently learned that, though. So it wasn't like I just learned that. Like, I just learned that. But to hear that it was 3 years old and Bethany is she knew it was old at one point, and she's still chowing down on
they
these pigs and blankets.
Good.
It must have
they
been delicious.
It was good. I mean, I'm one of those people that keeps stuff in my freezer and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I forgot that was in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's eat it anyway. Mm-hmm. Yep. I throw it away.
Well, I mean, Bethany's, I think, would be honest about liking them or not. And she loved them.
Yeah,
and she was like, oh, what, it's been there for 2 years? Yeah, no, you're fine. I freeze everything.
That's so funny. And it, she says, you know, you have to be honest how old this is or if you made this or whatever because, you know, that's going to give you...
It's the little stuff.
Right, the little stuff.
Transparency, right.
Right. And as Bethany's leaving later, she's like, it's the reason you won is because of the pigs and blankets. It was so
it was funny because she was still stuffing them in her face on the way out.
Yeah, it was.
Really were good.
It had to be really good. She has great taste.
I wish we have to figure out what brand they were. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs good. A good pig in a blanket at the cocktail party.
I don't think I've ever had one.
Really? I don't think I've ever had one either.
Oh my god. No, I love them.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Oh my god. Crazy.
And I used to be a catering waitress or like server. Yeah. So you just walk around with like a hand, you know, mm-hmm. the tray full of pigs in a blanket all night long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you so pick good. Some, you'd eat some of them.
Obviously. You leave like three left on the tray when you're going to get a new one in the back. And you take a couple and then you get out with a new tray.
You're like offering the food. You're like, these are delicious. Trust me.
I think I've OD'd on them at this part of my life.
But the more serious part of the, during this campaign was the conversation that we've saw between Heather and Bethany, which as of right now, prior to this conversation, there has been really no camaraderie between the two. It's a lot of tension. Mm-hmm. But this was, I believe, I'm trying to be objective, but I do, you know, we have met Heather and I do know she's just so wonderful, just a sweet, wonderful woman. And I do believe that her intentions were good. Just by that little bit of meeting her that I know. But at the same time, I can understand where Bethany was coming from, not wanting to talk about that because it's really difficult for her to mm-hmm. talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, what did you guys think? How did you feel about that?
I know people are thinking that I like hate Heather. That's what I've actually been seeing comments on YouTube
really?
That I like hate Heather.
Oh my God.
And I think I told you guys a couple weeks ago that her outfit was my favorite when they were in Atlantic City. So I have no like hatred for her. Yeah. I just try to speak honestly about how we feel about these women. And in that situation, I don't think she meant any malice towards Bethany, but it was almost a prying question because it is something so very personal. And if you've already got a little bit of tension in your relationship mm-hmm. with that person, that would be something I would tread very lightly with. I don't think she meant any malice by it at all. I just think
I understand
just because of mm-hmm. how their relationship already is, her approaching Bethany about it, just it would have been better. That was something that Bethany brought up to her.
Right. Do you guys have any opinions or same?
Like we see later that Bethany opens up to Carol, so she just doesn't have Heather just rubs her the wrong way for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
They just and it's like dating. You know, she just doesn't have that chemistry with Heather, but she has it with Carol, and she feels comfortable with her. It's mm-hmm. just a chemistry thing. Mm-hmm. Heather just rubs her the wrong way.
She really does.
I think you're both right. And I think it's like if it was anybody else, she may have opened up a little bit about it. But because it was Heather and she mm-hmm. feels like she and Heather have this rocky thing and she's not opening up to Heather, that it was like the worst possible thing Heather could have said. Mm-hmm. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I agree. I just feel like at that point it's so personal that, but I also know what it feels like to be in a position where you're trying to warm up to somebody and mm-hmm. you just say all the wrong things during mm-hmm. that time and you hear yourself saying them and you just keep like digging the hole deeper.
Right.
So I can understand what she's trying so hard to get Bethany to feel more comfortable. But Bethany made it clear she had to leave at 3:30. And of course, as Kristen walks in, she has to leave. She's had to make a joke about it. She's like, of course. The minute Kristen walks in, but I have to go be with my daughter or whatever it was. So, and Luann also took notice to that. They all had their opinion, but end of the day, Bethany's going to do what Bethany needs to do. So then we see Bethany in therapy, which we see a lot of, except tonight was the first time I've ever seen her almost like, like she gave it to her therapist.
Yeah, seriously.
What did you guys think about that? Were you surprised?
I wasn't surprised, but it made me uncomfortable. I was like, the poor guy, but maybe he's used to it. But she's usually mm-hmm. so good about taking what he says, internalizing it, and spitting it back and learning from it. And this time she was just having none of it. But I guess it was because it was so mm-hmm. hurtful and so deep and 30-year-old wounds, so, or even longer. So I think she just wasn't ready to go through the process.
And I think, too, because she just had this conversation with her stepdad the week prior and hadn't maybe gone over it, so didn't realize how much it actually hurt her. But you know how sometimes when you're dealing with a situation, the first emotion you have is anger. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when you actually break it down, you're sad. And so mm-hmm. I think that's what happened. He just asked her something, it hit her and she felt defensive and angry. And then the second that he asked her how this affected her and how it made her feel, you just kind of see her break down. And she says, I'm exhausted from this. Mm-hmm. By the time they finish the conversation, I'm exhausted.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think it... Gosh, I was confused as to why she was getting so angry and blowing mm-hmm. up on him until we came back from commercial break and got to follow through the whole process. Mm-hmm. And it was like, she knew, I guess this is kind of common where he's going deeper and deeper and she knew what was coming. I was confused as to what he was asking her because she's like, duh, it wasn't fun. Shut up. Mm-hmm. And finally, when we got to see her explain what he was asking and say, like, it wasn't fun, it was awful, and start crying, and him say, you know what, that does affect all of your current relationships today, even the way you are with your daughter and, like, all of her emotions, it all made sense to me. Like, she knew where he was going, like you guys said, and she didn't want to go there
right.
all, which you don't. And I guess that's his job, and I'm sure he's been seeing her for years, so I'm sure he's used to that kind of reaction from her and other patients, I'm sure. So
right.
Do you guys remember a couple seasons ago when her and it wasn't Housewives, it was her show with Jason, when they were on the, like, boat, and they kind of got lost, like, a little lost, it was stormy, and they had kind of a blowout with Dr. Amador, I think I remember that. So he's obviously seen this side of her before. It's nothing new. And I think as a therapist, you're not taking anything personally.
Right. No.
You're just there to listen and get them to open up like this because that says something about that person and that helps them dig deeper into what the real issue is.
We gotta ask Dr. Fran next week what she would have done. I do know when I was in therapy for a hot minute, I used to make jokes all the time. I don't know why. It just made it more comfortable to talk to a stranger. But I got this lady on the floor cracking up laughing. Like, and she couldn't control herself. So this guy, and I'm not even funny. Like, Bethany's hilarious. So I'm like, this guy, wow. He must, when she walks out, he must just be like, because she's so funny and she's so sarcastic. It's like how he doesn't laugh is beyond me. I give him so much credit for that. It's amazing. But yeah, at the end of the day, she has a breakthrough. She said she cracked and she's tired after that, which it seems like anybody would be. That's very difficult to talk about. And I give her so much credit for talking about it on the air. She's already, it's like we think we've learned everything about her. No, there's still more that we learn every day.
Mm-hmm.
Such a strong woman. And then we have a lighter scene, and this is part of the up to the episode, the more positive part of the episode, seeing Sonia with her Latino Show magazine cover and spread and her red dress. Were you guys surprised? I asked surprised because I was, honestly, that this all happened. Did you guys think that this was going to happen? With her line of clothing and this, I mean, I don't know about the magazine. We all were probably surprised that she was on a Latin magazine, which is, but it's awesome, but it's just, so she has large Latin.
Is the line available? Like, is it full? I haven't checked.
I don't know.
I think someone wrote on YouTube swimsuit. That there were a couple pieces on there, but it was very expensive.
Online only.
Yeah, online only. I think someone had written that.
She should go on Shark Tank only because I feel like a lot of brands that are even like that are enormous go on Shark Tank and then they can get the distribution and the whatever, licensing and retail.
I almost trust Sonia more than I trust her team. Like, her team just rubs me the wrong way.
They rub me the wrong way, too.
They don't instill confidence.
No, they don't.
I think that it would probably be most financially beneficial if she did something like QVC, where many reputable people and other housewives go there with a line, and it sells like hotcakes and you make your money.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't need to be in Bloomingdale's or Saks or the other luxury the luxury retailers are trying to get into. It doesn't have to be there to make money.
Right, you're so right.
How are these people making money? I'm sorry, but they're dressed nicely. They've been working on her brand for years. How are they supporting themselves living in Manhattan? She's not making any money yet with this. It's just starting. Mm-hmm. What the heck? It has to be a company that has a lot of other, whatever. Mm-hmm.
They've got other people.
Yeah, there's no way that this is their bread and butter. But, I mean, it was another awkward moment starring Heather, which was weird. But Heather asked, and I think she just was being supportive, but she was trying to figure out, like, is there a plan for retail? Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, what kind of, what are we talking about? Like, are we talking about a Kmart or more of a, and they just, everybody just, like, said, no, let's just stop it there.
It was kind of surprising to hear her I wouldn't ask that. And we had a Kmart in our town of 7,000 people in Plymouth, Wisconsin. But I wouldn't ask somebody if their clothing line living in Manhattan was going to be going there. I just wouldn't. And it's not that I look down on it, because Sofia Vergara has her
Selena
clothing
Gomez,
line there.
Has hers, like, so they, or
I mean,
like that.
Everybody has their lines all over the place. So it's not something to look down on, but it's just not the right question to ask. But I did agree with her comment a little bit on the one dress does not a collection make.
Right. I completely agree with her too. She's just erring on the side of caution, because it's like, great, here's one more step. There's actually something in person. Like, mm-hmm. as far as like the toaster oven being an example, it's like, well, at least we got to the toaster oven. Mm-hmm. There's one.
Right.
But you know, she's right. Like, where's the line? Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead.
Oh,
please.
I would never knock Kmart since my husband came up with the Kmart Shit My Pants ad.
Really?
So, yeah.
Plug.
So,
nice. No.
And you can
way.
Vote for it on YouTube, because it's one of the 20 top
do.
YouTube
ads. Yeah, I'm gonna vote. Yeah. Will you put it on the link?
I think voting ends tomorrow, but yes, I'll put it on. But
wait, say it again. Plug it again. Sorry, I want to hear it too. So.
It's 10 years of YouTube ads, and you can vote. It's one of 20 of the best in the past 10 years,
oh my
and you
God.
Can vote for it. Yes,
you're
the creative director.
I'm so voting. That's amazing.
Yay!
No, we love that. Like, Mac and I would like talk about it all the time and laugh so hard and like try to recreate everything everyone said. And when you told me your husband made that commercial, I was dying.
That's amazing.
So the link's on my Twitter. You can find it on Twitter.
Okay.
But. So I would never knock Kmart. I have nothing
What's
but
your Twitter?
Love
Fern, so everybody knows.
At Fern Ronay.
Okay, good.
R-O-N-A-Y. But I do think when she made that comment, it was meant to be a little
yes,
dig.
And
it was not nice. It was just wasn't nice.
Mm-hmm.
But she has a good point, because she's a good businesswoman about one dress. Yes.
Right.
Right.
I don't think it was a dig, but I do think at some point when you're that as high up as Heather in terms of the retail world, you're going to... Obviously, I would too feel like you know a lot more, and that you can ask those questions. Because if I just went up and asked that question, they'd be like, "Who the hell are you?" It's like, "Well, hi, I like clothes." Like, what? Mm-hmm. It's like Heather has, you know, she
right.
can do it.
Right,
she can ask those questions. I don't think she had bad intentions, but I also think that she may see what Lindsay and what I think what we all kind of see in these people. They're a little shady. I get like silence from them, or it's just more like an awkward tension. So mm-hmm. I don't know, or like a confused look.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They're obviously doing something for her, but mm-hmm. I'm not 100% on like, oh my God, I totally love these people.
As a contrast to what Heather said, I thought it was really sweet that Kristen apologized to her face. Like,
yes.
I'm so sorry mm-hmm. that
yes.
like
that
we ever so said nice. Anything. And I kind of felt like she was trying to apologize on behalf of everyone too,
mm-hmm.
which
yep.
was sweet. Like, I'm really sorry we said these things about you, and mm-hmm. like, I'm really happy
you're
for
actually
you.
Doing it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I think
she's yeah. sweet.
It was sweet.
I do too. I was surprised. I was hoping that was going to go that way between Kristen and Sonia, because I kept thinking, oh gosh, like, you know, when you let your guard down, kind of similar to when Ramona apologized to Luann and said, I should never said those things to you, and Luann was kind of like, okay, like, I forgive you, but I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. I was thinking Sonia might do the same thing, but Sonia's so forgiving.
Yes,
what a big heart.
She's
like, I don't talk about it. I'll mm-hmm. cry. Just, it's
yeah.
fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I give her so much credit, because
yeah.
that's like, it's really hard. I can't imagine how hard it is to everything that she's gone through. It's a
yeah.
lot. So then we see Bethany. And, okay, so we had that. Then we see Bethany and Carol. This is our favorite scene, probably of the entire season. I think we all agreed
oh,
it was
yeah.
one of our favorites. The most amazing, like, sitcom type of scene.
mm-hmm.
Amazing. I don't even know how we could ever recap this. Let's
no.
just attempt it. Bethany's a little bit upset, talking about, you know, she... I guess the funny part, I guess if I had to dissect this, the funniest parts are the responses that Carol has.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
Bethany's like, hey, like, give me the lowdown. Like, I know people probably don't like me very much, or they think that I'm, you know, this and that. Yep, that's true. Like, she's very like, yep.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of warmth is just comes off so funny, even though mm-hmm. she's not a cold person. She's
uh-huh.
just very like, yeah, that's true. She's very, like,
yeah.
newsy. Like, I'm going to give you the news. That's it. ABC 15 years. That's why,
yeah.
you know?
You can't get emotional when you do that.
How could you guys... Someone help me. Describe this yeah. scene. Give me some color in this scene. Give it some color.
I thought the best line was when Bethany started... She's like, are you going to cry over this? And it's obvious Bethany's upset thinking about her daughter and having to...
Mm-hmm.
Not getting to have full-time, full custody with her
mm-hmm.
daughter. And the thought of being away from her makes her so sad that she is... trying to hold back tears. And then Carol's like, are you gonna cry over our conversation? She's like, no, not like about like what we're talking about. And then it she bursts into tears and starts talking about Brandon, like, I would never want to miss any time with my daughter, and da da da. And Carol's like, Carol just has like an anxiety moment. She's like, do you need a hug? Because I'm really not a hugger. Just all of her responses are were so funny.
They're and both then so witty.
They
yeah.
are so witty. And mm-hmm. I love them together.
Me too.
Yeah. Like somehow at the end when they're both talking at the exact same time, and I think they put the words on the bottom of the screen so we could kind of see what they were saying. That or we were watching with the captioning.
We were watching with the captions.
But it was just like, don't hug me. No. Should I hug you? No. Don't touch me. No. It was just
do we agree that we both shouldn't hug? Great. Like, it was the best.
And then, like, if Heather were here, we'd be hugging. Maybe we'd be having sex. And I was still young.
And I think Carol maybe lightened the situation because she just listened and let Bethany kind of talk. Yes. And sometimes when someone's crying, they just want someone to listen to them.
And
even if they're not offering compassion, Carol's offering support.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's what you need. And it's not tough love. It's just you just need someone to listen. And I think another cute thing in this scene was when Carol brought over the cloth napkin.
$2 napkin.
And she's like, well, wait, then I'm going to buy this. Well, I'll buy it for you. I can afford it. And then, like, so that just, like.
Which one said I can afford it?
I think both of them ended up saying
really?
It. But it just made it lighthearted so that she was able to laugh then and go, okay, we can move on
and
from this now.
Bethany's cheap ass. She was like, oh, it's only $2. Why not? Let me hold on.
Meanwhile, she has a $100,000 Birkin sitting next to her, like hanging out with her. She's like our third Birkin we've seen. It's so funny. I mean, I don't even know. I could not stop laughing. The whole thing was amazing. Please, if anybody's just tuning in and you haven't seen the episode, like, you have to watch this scene. And then let us know what you thought. We built it up a lot because it is worth it.
So cute.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I think, but that was amazing. And I do see the two of them having a friendship that's going to, a little bit of a longevity to this friendship. Mm-hmm. And I think with Bethany, she doesn't like the phoniness, you know, or the desperate attempts at like trying to warm her up quickly. She just sees it as desperation or what, maybe it's not, but she sees it as that sometimes. But I feel like she just respects anybody that's just very to the point. Mm-hmm. And doesn't try to sugarcoat anything because that's how she is.
Yeah.
You kind of look for what you bring
like
to the table.
Like, she really
in a friendship.
Likes Dorinda, like how she called Dorinda and was like, I can't make it. And she's like, she's a cool broad.
Yes.
And I think they like the little bit of how Dorinda in the beginning of the season said, Bethany has a masculine energy. I think they kind of see that in each other and they like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Carol has a masculine energy too, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's not all like mushy and.
No.
She's not like super fakey girly.
Right.
Yeah. Who would we say is the mushiest?
I think Heather's kind of mushy.
And I love Heather. Like,
oh, I know. I'm trying to think.
I think Sonia.
Like, I don't think she's maybe phony.
I don't know.
Yeah, Sonia or Ramona.
I don't know who's the mushiest. I guess I'd have to agree. It would probably be, well, Heather's not really mushy, though. She's kind of a tough one, too.
I think she's very warm. Seeing her play with the baby this episode made me think she's like a mushy, sweet mom type.
I think these women are pretty not mushy.
Well, they're all very type A. They are in charge. So that's where all the conflict comes from.
Sonia, I guess, would be the most mushy. Yeah.
She's the love. She's the big love.
So then we have the last scene, last but not least. So much going on here.
Boy.
Caviar at Petrol. You say Petrosian, I say. Petrosian, you say Petrosian? I'm not really sure. We all had a different name.
Mackenzie called it Petrosian, and she was the little caviar waitress.
Okay, Mackenzie and I said Petrosian.
Petrosian.
Okay, so whatever it is.
I don't know how Luann pronounced it either. But.
Who here likes caviar? Just curious.
Oh, I do.
You do?
Yeah,
do
but you? Sparingly. I mean, it's like a salt bomb in your mouth.
Is it
like just a tiny bit on a cracker? It's weird. It's like when you bite into it, it's like this little bubble bursts in your mouth, and it's like nothing but salt water.
But it tastes good?
I love salty food, so that's why.
I don't like anything fishy.
Me either.
Oh, okay.
But does it have a fishy taste?
I had it, a friend of mine needed me to be on MasterChef, and so I got to try a bunch of amazing food.
You probably tried the best of the best of caviar.
We won't. It was good.
Oh, okay.
Leave it. It was good.
We can't give away anything.
Did it have a fishy taste to it?
It had a little bit of a fishy taste to it. The lovely thing that they did with it, there were so many other beautiful flavors combined. So you got salty, sweet, bitter, like everything. It was like on endive and stuff. So it was really, very complex, like citrus. So it definitely helped it. I'm sure this kind of caviar was very, very high-end expensive, so it's probably not really going to be fishy for the most part.
I have such bad taste. I love, like, In-N-Out Burger and, like, anything, like, fast
we
food.
We all love In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah, that's, like, a delicacy to me. I'm like, pass the animal fries. Extra cheese, please.
Caviar on an In-N-Out Burger would be great.
You should do it.
That'd be great.
Like, have you guys been to Barney's where they have like a bottle of Dom with a hot dog?
Barney's Beanery.
Oh, yes, it's like a chain of restaurants out here.
Barney's the Boston thing, right? Isn't it?
No, Barney's Beanery.
It's
Irish food. Oh, I'm pretty sure.
Or whatever.
It's like bar food. Yeah. Okay. But they serve like a hot dog with like a $500 bottle of champagne.
That's great.
And $500.
That's so great. That's great. Good times. Well, just curious if you guys liked caviar, but they certainly did. Heather, I think more than everybody else. But it was a great little thing that Dorinda, was it for her birthday, but Luann had put together. Going back to what Megan was saying, I think you said it right earlier. So from the very beginning, and I didn't piece this into the end, and to correct me if I'm wrong, but out of nowhere, we all thought it was out of nowhere, because Ramona starts attacking Heather and Luann as soon as John goes to the restroom. We're all like, she's just like so up and down. What the heck? It all makes sense. She didn't mind throwing Heather in as well, because it's like, to her, they already have tension sometimes anyway. So may as well throw her under the bus. And then let's throw Luann, because at the end of the day, she knows that she's going to have to deal with the situation regarding John and her feelings about John. And she wants to warm up Dorinda as much as possible before that. Dorinda's very smart, though, and her face was very like, she could smell what was going on. But John went to the bathroom for a very long time, and during that time, we see Ramona just throwing Luann under the bus and saying that they had a conversation. Luann had said a lot of mean stuff, and Dorinda knew about it, and Dorinda felt bad about it. What were your overall thoughts of this and the scene?
Here's my question, ladies.
Yeah.
Okay, so for the most part, Ramona has been fairly stable throughout the season so far, for the most part. This is the first we're hearing of Ramona spending time with Mario again. Mario wants to come back into her life. Mario has made up with Avery. She's dropped food off for Mario
Atlantic
to try
salmon or wild salmon
from her restaurant AOA. So all of a sudden Mario is kind of popping back into the picture. But she doesn't bring Mario to the party, because I don't think anyone would have accepted Mario at the party. She brings a date, Michael,
who never got 2 seconds with.
We barely saw. But if I was that dude, I would run for the hills after seeing this.
Yes.
But do we think maybe that's part of the reason? Like, there's something else going on in her head. So now
it absolutely could be.
It's coming out in a different way.
Yeah. And maybe also because she drank. Maybe she drank so much that night. Because I definitely think her being intoxicated has something to do with her outrageous behavior.
She has pills that she's probably on. Yeah. I would think that when you're sick, you have to have antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're definitely not supposed to drink with that medication. Yeah. And maybe, you know, she was drinking a lot for anxiety of, like, what's going on in her personal life. Mm-hmm. And it was like watching, like, a runaway bus.
Yeah,
the runaway bus. Which it technically was a bus. She threw Luann under it. She threw Heather under it.
Clarify what actually, because what I saw was that Ramona and Luann had a conversation, a private conversation about John and their feelings about John. Then Ramona went to Dorinda and told Dorinda what had happened, but left herself out.
What Luann said. Yes. Turned Luann into a scapegoat.
Right. Yes. And then
Dorinda felt bad and wanted to call Luann about it, but instead she didn't, and this is the first time they're talking about it, and Luann is standing, because Luann was so composed, that's why I wonder, she didn't seem caught off guard by this at all.
No.
She was like, wait, what's going on? Like, it seemed like she knew exactly what was going on. Mm-hmm. And she was calling her out in a very funny way, almost as if it's like, it doesn't even bother her anymore. She's like, just sit down at the end.
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, maybe Luann kind of almost got over it by the end of it. Like, Ramona's just out of control right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cut her a break on this whole Mario thing. And you know what? Tonight's about Dorinda. Let's try to squash it for now. It's kind of how I think in the end when she was, like, done over
and I think Luann is probably, like, it's so obvious that Ramona and I were talking about John behind, you know, privately behind Dorinda's back. And it's so obvious that we were saying the same things. He's this, he's that. We don't think he's right for her. And then she went and said, Luann doesn't think he's right for you.
Why would you ever
I think
do
she
that?
Thinks it's obvious, and Dorinda's smart enough to know what happened.
Yeah.
So she was probably cool as a cucumber.
What's the point of doing it? I'm trying to... Why would Ramona even do that?
Right, because she hugged all over John and was like, well, if Dorinda's happy, then I'm happy with you. And like,
she was trying to make up for it. Like then, yeah.
Him, why are you hugging all over him, lying to his face?
A, it's going to be on camera. You know it. Mm-hmm. B, you know that the conversation did happen and that he's better off just not saying anything and throwing anybody under the bus because then just let's just let it go. And C, why would you do it at Dorinda's party?
Why would you when John's there with her? Mm-hmm.
And John, now, was John upset or was he taking it kind of jokingly? Because he was like, do you have anything to say to John? He was speaking in like the third person to Luann. Luann's like, I have nothing to say to John. Something like that. But it was funny.
I think he knew it was obvious they were talking about him. Yeah.
He didn't seem like he cared.
No.
I just feel like Ramona came in there angry at the both of them saying, Dorinda's so welcoming. She's always had this, mm-hmm. like, no wall. And Heather and Luann, you guys have this.
Right, but she was doing that because she wanted to make Luann look even worse before mm-hmm. the conversation came up, and she wanted to warm up Dorinda even more.
Exactly. So beforehand. It was this whole buttering her up first yes. and then doing this. And like I think you said, she saw right through it. Dorinda knew that she like did. This wasn't just something Luann did. It was partly Ramona, too, because they had talked earlier. You don't really like John, do you? And she's like, well, it's not that I don't like John. The first conversation mm-hmm, they had was about that. So Dorinda already knows that Ramona's not John's biggest fan.
Right.
I don't think anyone really loves John with Dorinda.
Heather does say that. So they really don't like him, apparently. They all talk about him. We've seen some glimpses, but I've never seen anything that bad that I'm like, this guy is bad news. Like, I haven't seen anything that nothing like there's a lot of other husbands and boyfriends we've seen in the past and other franchises that don't even get as much airtime as John. John is getting a lot of attention mm-hmm. and a lot of heat for really at the end of the day, what, showing up at a clubby kind of place and maybe saying something kind of rude in a dinner, but what else is there?
I think they think he's just not a match.
They just don't like him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think they're maybe playing over and over again. Just maybe that whole one night that he showed up at that bar that they were all at without Dorinda and maybe every time he keeps coming up in subsequent episodes, it's kind of just going back to that.
Yeah.
Maybe. And they were like, oh, our first impression of him wasn't good. We don't really like him.
I think they might have known. Also, they might have known her husband who passed. And he was this educated, classy guy. And so mm-hmm. maybe they feel he's just not right for her because he's not like him. I don't know.
Right. We know she was left a lot. I mean, this home that they're all going to has five fireplaces.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's got a lot of money. And I think some of them are concerned about that,
maybe. Yeah. They did make mention of that in some
last episode. I think it was. Something about how he doesn't have as much. And he doesn't live in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And this and that.
So
but
what?
So snooty. I felt a little bad for Ramona, I have to say. She's bringing this new guy because she did kind of talk about a guy with Carol. So she's still vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
She's vulnerable. She brings this guy who knows what she probably wants to make a good impression in front of him. And they brought it up that we've known you. Heather brought it up and Luann brought it up. We've known you for so long and you've changed completely. And she probably was like, don't get in. Mm-hmm. Probably felt defensive immediately. Don't get into a conversation about how I've changed, how I'm better now. Just don't talk about me in front of this guy.
Right.
Or in general, because she's feeling vulnerable and she's sick and she's drinking and she's probably on antibiotics.
Right.
And Mario's coming back and she's confused. Yeah. All this stuff. And then they're bringing up, you've made a metamorphosis, you've changed for the better. She's probably like, shut up.
Yes, absolutely.
So I felt a little bad for her, but then she definitely turns it on
them. Good point.
But she's looking for the attention just because why would you ever drop the name Mario? She's so smart. She didn't just accidentally say earlier, I brought him some fish. Like, Bethany's mm-hmm. like, what? And then she's like, oh, no, I brought in some fish. She's like, what? So as Lindsay said, I think that that's definitely in her head. She's very, as they asked
vulnerable.
Her questions earlier, are you going to go back with him? Do you miss him? What does it feel like when you're with him? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. She's very confused right now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't justify what she did to Luann. And you know what? I give so much credit to Luann who just responds so well.
Stay classy.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
Last week when we saw the preview, I was like, oh, Luann's going to lose it. But she didn't.
She didn't. Yeah. She knows how to handle it.
Yeah.
She knows never to let it. The worst thing to do is to make it look like it's bothering you and it gets to you. It's so much better to just go home and then vent to your best friend and just be like, okay, yep, got it. All righty. A cuckoo. Like, bye. Bye. Mm-hmm. So it was just strange. I just, whatever. But Luann did a great job in that.
Yeah.
Anything else we wanted to discuss before we get into predictions? Was there anything where...
I don't have any other notes. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do some predictions because God knows we may have some good ones for next week. What's the main thing we saw this week?
The Berkshires.
Yes, but there was... Oh, Kristen. Yeah. What's going to happen with Dorinda and Kristen? That fight. Mm-hmm. What the heck? Was that regarding the party?
Regarding when... John, like, touching her, flirting with her, shimmying. Yes. Shimmying going
Who else was
on,
shimmying that night, though? It was Kristen and somebody else.
Sonia. Sonia.
Right? Sonia. Yeah. So I wonder if Sonia's going to get the third degree as well.
Because Kristen didn't really... I mean, she was behind him, but the second that he turned around, remember, she ran. Yes. She was like, ah, get me out of here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So she... I mean, Sonia was far more accepting of it and allowing it and allowing him to touch her. So if Dorinda's going to be mad at anyone, she should be more frustrated with... Not with even with Sonia, but with John,
exactly.
First off.
Yes.
But with Sonia, if you're going to get mad at any one of the women.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, like, Kristen's husband was there, so I don't... Yeah. I think if she thought her husband would have been mad, she wouldn't have been doing it. Because all in good fun.
Yeah.
She comes off as such a strong woman, though. Yeah. I would never think she would be
mad
worried
about that.
Or self-conscious or anything. It just seems like she's like, if you don't want me, bye. Like, that's how she would be.
Right.
Strange.
I'm shocked she would be threatened
I think it's going to be a little blip. I think it's going to be something that they're trying to make big, but it's going to be let go. You know, like how sometimes when they're giving us previews and stuff, they'll show us, like, the highest point of the drama. But then when we see it the next week, we're like, oh, well, that was really nothing.
Yeah, that's a good prediction.
So I don't feel like Dorinda's really, I don't feel like she cares that much.
Yeah, I know.
I really don't. Like, props to her because I don't think it was a big deal. I don't think she's really truly going to be that. I think it's just was something that she felt she needed to say to get off her chest and just.
Well, maybe it's, maybe they're going to go into John again and maybe everyone's ribbing on John again and maybe she's kind of trying to defend him by saying, you know what, you were all in on it too. It's not like he's doing something to you guys that you were unwelcome.
Yes.
Right. So.
Yes. I think she feels like at the end of the day, he already has a bad rap. Like, let's not exacerbate it and feed into it for the show.
Right.
And I think she's really upset that she knows that in 6 months, it's all going to air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was just hoping that they would be a little more. But that's what you sign up for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's bringing the drama. I got to give her a lot of credit for somebody as confident and just business. She's very smart. She's very just do what you see is what you get. And yet she still brings the drama. And it just shows you don't have to
always
be like
yelling,
that.
Too. Yeah. Without getting angry. I mean, and that they always say about that.
Voice.
The best response is either no response at all or staying silent when someone expects you to be angry. And so, I mean, she handles it well, like Luann does, I think, a lot of the times, where some of the women get a little bit heated. They kind of just go balls to the wall right away. So Dorinda usually stays pretty calm for the most part.
Agreed. Anything else?
Do we see Heather and Bethany going at it again?
Mm-hmm. Again.
It's like round eight with them. Good Lord.
Yeah, they're getting into it again. I think it's about kids. I was so like, there was so much going on. I didn't even write until the end.
Something like, don't ask me about it because I'll be on the floor crying.
I'll be on the floor sobbing,
Maybe it's about Bryn again.
Yeah.
Heather really knows how to get to her sore
spot. I know. It's so strange. But I think Heather's a warm person. Like, I think if she was asking somebody else those questions, they would be best friends in 10 minutes.
I'm wondering if it's like she doesn't warm her up enough, if she goes right for it, and that's how Bethany gets mad.
I'll tell you, if I didn't, and I'm not trying to be like, oh my God, Heather and I are best friends. No, but I did get to meet her. We met her twice. And if I didn't meet her those two times, I probably would see the episode a little different, and I probably would think a little bit differently about it. It's hard to be objective when you met, because you just know someone right off the get, right from the get go. If they're warm, she was very genuine, very warm, and very sweet. So it's strange to see this happening. She's like the last person I would think that would get under anybody's skin or upset anybody.
Yeah.
So it's just strange, but you also have to think Bethany is probably really hard to warm up to. She cannot trust anybody. That's what the whole therapy thing was about. She does not trust people. So it's got to be a little bit of both. And they're both very strong people.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're ever going to be friends.
I don't think so either.
I just don't think they have that chemistry.
No. Mm-hmm. Carol just has something that just rubs Bethany the right way.
Yes.
I don't know what it is. Just that, like, loose whatever. I don't care. I'm not gonna coddle you. Let's go out and have a drink.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. They cast this so well. Whoever does the casting, I have to
say,
season
is
just
so good.
Such genius casting
Bringing
directors.
Her back was so good.
Unbelievable. Anyway, so I'm excited for next week. Where can we find you all? Let's start with Fern Ronay.
You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fern Ronay.
And this is Lindsay here. You guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lindsay Wegner. That's LYNDSEYWEGNER. Or my blog, lindsaywegner.blogspot.com.
And you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Megan Stecher. It's MEGANSTECHER.
fabulous. You can find me on Twitter at Ashley Daniels, Periscope at Ashley Daniels, and Instagram at Miss Ashley Daniels. And we will see you next week for another episode of The Real Housewives of New York City. Bye. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.